few weeks back, we talked about our fears. And one of the number one fears is flying. I say we shouldn't fear flying at all. It's the crashing that should really bother us, right? And I'm not really sure about the legitimacy of this thing. I found it on the internet, so it must be true. Number one is flying. Number two, public speaking, meaning you don't really want to be up here. You'd rather be there making fun of the guy who is up here. That's actually my natural spiritual gift. God had a joke on me, right? All right, put me up here. Number three is heights. How many of you are afraid of heights? Yeah, you shouldn't be afraid of heights. You should be afraid of falling. All right, number four, the dark. Many people are afraid of the dark. Number five, this one surprised me. And yet it makes so much sense. Intimacy. People are afraid of intimacy. Why are they afraid of intimacy? Because it's the people who know you the best, who love you the most, that also know where you're vulnerable. And we're always afraid of getting too close to people because they might know and they might use that against us and hurt us. So we're afraid of intimacy. And then finally, number six was death. Basically, I think all those things lead up to we have a fear of death. But I wasn't sure exactly how legitimate it was because spiders didn't make the list until number nine. Thank you. A little delayed reaction there, but yeah. All right, so we have many fears, but even we in the Christian community, sometimes we're afraid. We spend millions and millions of dollars making sure we stay right here on earth. And yet we as Christians need to talk about this and understand it. In fact, we cannot begin to really get into it in just a few sermons. And so we have a Bible study coming up with John Owens is going to be leading starting on Wednesday. I think it's the 14th. It's going to be at 6 p.m. And so if you'd like to get involved and be a part of it, do you know there are over 600 references to heaven? And yet we as the Christian community, we're still afraid of dying and we're really not sure how much we actually know about heaven. Well, if you go through this study, you're going to know about heaven. I had one lady tell me, I've already been through the study three times, and she said, you know, I learn something every single time I go through this study. So I would encourage you to get involved because heaven is not the consolation prize. It is the prize. And it's not to stay here. We were created for eternity. We were created for a relationship with God, and he loved us so much that he sent his one and only son so that we could be forgiven, washed clean. We just sang, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Our choir just sang, and they're constantly reminding us about God's love. That's why I love to come to church. And if you pay attention, everything is just surrounding us and overflowing with God's love for his people. So why wouldn't we want to go to heaven? I admit that I was, you know, I've told the old joke about the kid who was in Sunday school, didn't want to go to heaven, and teacher says, why not? He said, I thought you were taking a bus right now. And it's like, no, we want to go to heaven when we die. But Paul had a death wish. He wanted to go ahead and be in heaven. He didn't mind going to Jerusalem where they're going to beat him up again and possibly kill him or imprison him and or even possibly behead him as we believe might have happened to him. And he says, I don't care because to be away from the body is to be with the Lord, and it's better for me to be with the Lord than it is to be here with you guys, but it's better for you that I stick around and teach you some of the things that the Lord's been telling me about. He said, so I'm kind of torn. When I was a young pastor, I wasn't there because I still had young children. I thought, well, I want to go to heaven, but I've got a wife. I've got kids. I've got, you know, and yet the more I became immersed in God's word, the more excited about heaven. And I've told my family and my friends, if I ever die, do not cry for me. I'm going to be in a very good place. It is a better place than here. And when we come to a celebration of life service, many times we're grieving because we're the ones who are left behind. We don't grieve for our loved ones because those who are in Christ go on to heaven. We grieve for ourselves because we're separated for a time. But we know one day, at the right time, God's going to come back through Jesus Christ and take us to be with him in heaven. Amen? Amen. All right, let's take a look for our passage today. It's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Many of you will recognize this because we recite it just about every celebration of life service. Why? Because it's Jesus trying to comfort us. He's trying, the context today is he's comforting his disciples. He's told them he's about to go away. And they're like, time out. We just started this church thing and we're not ready yet. And you can't go away and leave us because we're not ready. And Jesus says, I'm going away, but it's okay. It's actually better if I go because my Father will send the Holy Spirit and you're going to do incredible things through him. But listen to what he says. John chapter 14, verse 1. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And I just love Thomas. And Thomas says, no, we don't. He says, verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered the greatest answer of all time. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So let's take a look at our outline this morning. If you'd like to draw pretty pictures or if you want to fill in the blanks, you can do that. Some of you like to fill them in ahead of time. See if you got them right. Number one is that Jesus wants us to be at peace. Everybody say peace. Peace. How many times in Scripture does he say, peace, my peace be with you. My peace is among you. And later in chapter 14, he says, I do not give as the world gives. Because we go around saying, hey, peace, 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 but there is no peace. And yet he says, when I give you my peace, I give it for all time. I give it for all eternity. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. He wants us to have this peace. And so I want to share this story with you because as we're reading the scripture, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. We begin to see the doctrine of the Trinity. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming in. And he says, you've seen me, but if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know my character, then you know the character of my Father. From now on, you do know him. You have seen him because you have seen me. You have believed in me. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a real place. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going, I will come back. How many of you have ever put in some place in your GPS and it turns you, tells you to turn off the side of a mountain? You know, it's kind of like, yeah, sometimes we get lost with those darn things. You'll never get lost with Jesus Christ. Putting your faith, putting your trust in him. And he says, if I go, then I will come back and take you with me to be where I am. I want to share a story about a man who was in his 50s at my last church. And he had had a very difficult life. If you could think of whatever a difficult life looks like, his name was there. He had really had a challenging life. But later in life, he had turned things around. He had given his life to Jesus Christ. And he was finding spiritual as well as emotional and physical healing that was taking place inside of him. But his life was cut short by cancer. And as I was spending the last days with him, and the last day that I saw him alive, we knew that he was actively dying and it would be any moment now. And so I was with he and the family, and we were praying together, and as we didn't know the time was coming, but exactly when we didn't know, and so it was time for me to leave, and so I left them with my prayers and said, here's my number. If you need me, give me a call. We were only about 3 miles apart, and by the time I had gotten home, his wife called and said, Don has passed. I turned right around, went back, and was with the family, and she said, Pastor, you're not going to believe what happened. And I said, well, tell me about it. Now, I told you about John's challenging life, and it seemed like this one was a close call, because I believe, I've served as a chaplain for hospice. I've been with a number of people who were dying and actively dying, and I believe they can see things that we cannot see. And he was just kind of looking past through everyone and slightly gazed up. And I don't know why, but they always look up. And he looked up, and the first thing he said, he was sitting in his easy chair, and he grabbed the sides of it and says, no, you can't have me. I belong to Jesus. And then he suddenly relaxed and said, it's okay. Jesus is here. Those were his final words. He let his last breath, and he went home to be with Jesus. I tell you that because I want you to know that heaven is not the default. Hell is. There's a lot of good people who think they're going to heaven. And today, before we end, you're going to have the opportunity to know that you know that you know. We've got a new member class going on right now, and we take them because it's more important to me than them joining the Methodist Church is to join the Church of Jesus Christ. And we teach them who is God, who is Jesus, what's the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, what is prayer, what are the sacraments. And I come in at the end, and I pray with them individually, and I want to make sure that they've had the opportunity to receive Christ. Some time ago, a few months ago, I had the opportunity to pray with a 90-year-old woman who wasn't sure. She'd been in church all of her life, but she didn't really know. And I said, do you want to know? She says, yeah, I want to know. I want to be sure. I prayed with her to receive Christ. And she walked out with joy in her heart that day. You can know that you know that you know. And so it's important for us that we know and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Number two, he wants us to understand that heaven is for real. As I go out and have lunch, either I'm having lunch with somebody or I'm always working. And I was working on this sermon, and periodically I just talk to a random person and say, hey, I'm getting ready to preach on heaven. What do you want to know about heaven? And the guy I was speaking with this week, he says, is it real? And I said, heck yeah, it's real. Come Sunday, you'll find out. But this is what he wanted to know. And we want to know that we know that we know that heaven is for real. Jesus says heaven is for real. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I know many of you know the King James, and you even like it better, where it says there's many mansions. You get your own mansion when you go up there. But what you need to know for sure is there's room enough for you. There's room enough for me. There's room enough for all who accept Jesus Christ, and that it is real. Many of you know the book or the movie that came out that said heaven is for real. Little Colton Burpee was only 3 years old when he had a near-death experience. And when he came back, he was able to tell his parents where they were in the hospital while he was on the table. And he was somewhere floating above them. And he said, Mommy, you were over here crying. And Daddy, who was a pastor, he said, Daddy, you were yelling at God. And Dad says, like, there is no way he could know except for what he's telling is the truth. And he was taken up into heaven. He was given glimpses of heaven. He got to meet family members. That's one of the questions people want to know is, will we know each other? Are they asleep? Are they alive? What's going on? Where are they? And he met his family members, including a sister that he didn't even know that he had. And he came back and he told his family all about it. Heaven is for real. A few weeks ago, and guys, I hope it's okay, Nancy got up here and she shared the testimony with her and Bob, and that they had lost a 19-year-old son in a car accident. And their little son, Sean, was inconsolable until Robbie came back and took him to heaven. And when Nancy went to find him the next morning, he's sitting in the living room coloring furiously. She said, what are you doing? He said, Robbie came to get me last night. And I asked him, do you want to be here? And he said, oh, yes, I want to be here. And he showed him all the things about heaven. And Sean got to see God. He got to see a throne. He got to see a river flowing from the throne. And one of my favorite things is he got to see animals that were there that didn't bite. One of the things that he was drawing was a picture of an alligator. And alligators don't bite in heaven. How many of you want to go now? Yeah. How many of you live on a lake? How many of you want to be able to be in the lake and not worry about the alligators? Because in heaven, they don't bite at all. We have all these glimpses of heaven. That's exactly what Revelation is John was taken up into heaven so that he could give us a picture, so that he could give us an idea, so that he could give us a hope that it's an incredible place, a beautiful place. Heaven is for real. Number three is that through Jesus, we have an all-access pass. How many of you have ever been to a concert before and had an all-access pass? Yeah, none of you. Wow. Choir, I can always, yeah, thank you. I can always count on them. But an all-access pass is a special pass. It's just not a ticket to get into the stadium. It is to get you anywhere you want to go. You get to be with the headliners. You get to be with the singers. You get to go backstage. They get to know you. You're invited to the parties. It is an all-access pass. Nothing is blocked from you. You are open to be able to go in and experience everything. Through Jesus, we have an all-access pass into heaven. N.T. Wright shares the story about being in high school. And how many of you have been in high school? How many of you loved it? How many of you never want to go back again? Yeah, okay. It's like, no, it was fun, but no, don't want to go back. Well, he remembers a story about being in high school. Their football team was playing a rival football team, but it was a distance away. And so they realized that it was going to be very late by the time they got back. And one of the students at the school lived about halfway in between. And so he said, hey, guys, we don't have to come all the way back. We can go to my house, and everybody's welcome. They said, everybody's welcome? Everybody's welcome. So they went to the game. They won the game. They're all excited. They're pumped up. The invitation again, anybody who wants to, welcome to come and stay at my house. And N.T. Wright, I believe, was riding back, and suddenly he realizes there are two carloads full of teenagers. Think about how many teenagers you can stuff into a carload. And, you know, I'm not saying they're smart, but, you know, they filled them up. And as they're getting closer, he starts getting worried, and he says, are you sure this is okay? He said, I'm telling you, there's room for everybody at my house. And they start turning into the neighborhood, and they all came from a smaller community where there was 3 bedrooms. If you had a 4-bedroom home, it was really big. And they are thinking to themselves, well, maybe it's a 4-bedroom, and maybe they have a porch that's been closed in for another bedroom, and we'll just all sleep on the floor, and it'll be fine. Suddenly, they turn onto his street, and they realize, Toto, we are not in Kansas anymore. They are in Richville, and said they weren't just big houses, they were mansions. And suddenly the anxiety increased. He's like, this is your street? He goes, yeah, this is where I live. I told you there's going to be room enough for everybody. And they drive up to the house, and it's massive. And the son walks right in the front door, and two piles of carloads of teenagers come in with him. And they are just amazed at how big this place is. It's not a big house. It's a mansion. And it's full, and it's art, and it's just the decor is immaculate and incredible. And he asks once again, are you sure it's okay with your father? He said, yes, I'm telling you, it's okay. Then he started taking them down the hallway. He said the hallway looked like a hotel. There was rooms everywhere off of this grand hallway. He said, my father's house has many rooms, and all are welcome. There's room enough for everyone. And how did they get to stay? They had access to the entire place. It was his father's house, but they had access through the son. So how can we know? How can we be sure? Well, number four says to study, to pray. We constantly encourage people to get involved in Bible studies. Some of you are shocked to find out there's over 600 references to heaven. You don't have to be shocked. Get involved. Get studying. Learn about it. You can change your joy from apprehension and anxiety to a joy. It says, yes, I believe in God the Father. I believe he's the creator of everything. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that there's a heaven. And I believe that that's where I belong. I want to be a place of light and love and peace and joy and happiness forever and ever and ever. So when we study, we pray, we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Most people in the world think they're just good people and that God's going to let them in because they're good people. Jesus even said, none are good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we must make our reservation. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our names are written into the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, Dr. David Jeremiah tells the story of a singer who was a well-known singer in town, and there was going to be this incredible wedding, and she was invited to come and sing, and afterwards there was going to be this big reception, and everybody was going to be there, and it was going to be incredible. And so the time for the wedding came, and the singer was there, and she sang beautifully, and everything went off without a hitch. It was beautiful. And then afterwards, they all loaded up in their cars, and they headed over to the reception. And when they got close to it, they could see that, oh man, this is an incredible place. This is going to be an awesome party. And as she and her husband walked up the steps, they realized that there was people checking people in at the door. And when they stepped up, and they said, name please, and she gave her name. And he said, I'm sorry, your name's not on the list. She said, what do you mean my name's not on the list? I'm the singer from the wedding. I'm a part of the wedding party. Certainly my name is on the list. And he said, I'll check again. He checked again. And he said, I'm sorry, ma'am. Your name is not on the list. And only people whose names are in the book get access. You can imagine they were crushed. And as they're driving home, the husband said, how could your name not be on the list? Were we supposed to RSVP or something? And she said, yeah, I remember getting that, but I remember not worrying about it because I'm a singer. I'm a part of it. Certainly my name is going to be on the list. When it comes to heaven, your name's got to be on the list. And the invitation is open to all. Everybody say all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. But we have to make sure and make a reservation. And we do that by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Heaven is for real. It's even better than we could ever imagine. And we've been given an all-access pass through the Son. It's a place that's filled with wonder and colors and peace and love and joy and animals that do not bite. We were created for eternity. We're just foreigners passing through. We are in the world, but not of the world. But we were created for heaven. In our contemporary service, we sing a song about, you know, Jesus couldn't imagine heaven without us. And so he came down. And if he came down, he lived. He did incredible miracles. But most importantly, he died on that cross for our sins, that we could be washed clean, that we could be forgiven, and that we would have this all access pass to be with him. And he says, if I told you about it, you can put your faith and trust in it. And I'm going away, but I will come back and take you so that you may be where I am. That is the good news of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?